All right, this morning let's head east, and east we will go this morning, and welcome in this morning, it's just south of Philadelphia, Don Mann this morning. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, just great, Jeff. How you doing?
Well, doing pretty well for a Tuesday, survived Monday. Sometimes that can be a challenge, can't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really can. So we're going to talk this morning a little bit about how political slogans influence the votes and the things like that. You, of course, are a motivational speaker, teacher, navigator, author of Okay, God, Now What? Some things like that. So anyway, quite interesting. Give us a little background, first of all, this morning on Don Mann.
Don was graduated from college with a degree in chemistry, another one in biochemistry, and then every good chemist ought to learn how to fix airplanes, so I ended up in the Air Force fixing them 2,000 at a time.
Really?
And since then, I've been moved into high technology arenas and corporate America. And that's actually where the idea came from, Okay, God, Now What? What happened to me was I was given an assignment, walked into my office one morning, got a note, go see my boss, and walked in there. And I went in happy and came out absolutely numb. As I came out of the doorway, another vice president met me in the hallway and said these comforting words, better men than you have tried to turn that plan around. So long it's been nice knowing you.
Really?
And so on top of all that, it was halfway across the country, and there went my family life for a while. And the company was technical, high technology, and the only scientists and engineers in the world who understood what was going on were the same ones who were locked in, get these words, fear, accusation, and fault-finding. And they were just locked up and couldn't solve anything. And my job was to go in there and somehow give them hope and encourage them to do it, because what I could not do was to throw them in any more fear, because that would limit what happens. When you get into fear, your thinking stops, your creativity stops, and you start accusing and fault-finding everybody else. So you know what? In 6 years, we did it. And the way that we did it was that I kept myself in a program to keep my heart and mind right. Actually, that with the situation, the whole town depended upon doing this. And so I turned to the scriptures and got on my knees and kept myself from getting into fear, so I didn't pass it along, because fear is contagious. And so as they turned around and the culture changed there, we were able to succeed and grow the company from losing money to $500 million in sales in 6 years. And, of course, I beat that vice president, had such happy news for me that day. So that felt pretty good in that regard. And I learned the power of slogans and affirmations in that process, and how it is to draw people up and call them into a greater self-identity. And because really the triggering issue with affirmations and slogans is, what is your self-identity respond to those words around you? And that's actually how I became an expert in it, was using it, and turned around a lot of other businesses since that time. And now you have the political environment that we're in, which is very different. In a political campaign, they use lots of messaging, lots of slogans, lots of statements, and 95% of them are negative. So even though it's the largest advertising campaign in the world, the effort is spent on negative messages, not positive. In the normal commerce world, you know, you buy this new car, you'll feel better, you look better, you drive better, you save money. All the positive things are accentuated, and the negatives are very subtle. And it's the reverse in a political campaign. It's full of negative messaging all the time, wherever you see it. Today, at least in our part of the country, they're on, doesn't matter what channel you're on, they're in there telling you about something's wrong with somebody, you know, smearing mud and dirt around all the time. And that does have an effect on you, even whether it's your guy or the other guy, you like him, you don't like him, it still has an effect on you, because that's the way the human beings work. We are aware of what's going on around us, even if we don't pay attention to it.
So we're not really talking so much buttons here as we're talking slogans, but that's kind of the same thing. But has it changed a lot with internet and things like that?
Well, actually, the biggest change has been more directly personable. And with the messaging that's on the internet, what we're right now, I haven't seen anyway, is direct advertising like you see on TV. You know, like if you go to Facebook and all of a sudden you have a Republican or Democratic message for your county or your state or the country. I haven't seen that. But in terms of the communication, absolutely. If they can get access to you, they're going to send you messaging and try to relate to you, because that's where people are. And of course, advertising is all about getting to where people are.
Yeah, that's right. So interesting, but you say keep it positive. and be amazed how things can get turned around.
Well, not just the positive, but calling to your self-identity. That's what I learned. That's the great message of the gospel is your new self-identity in Christ, and that's the greatest one there is. You can have a lesser self-identity and still do well, but greatness is found in a greater self-identity. And what happens with advertising is they discovered, any advertising, the stronger your self-identity, the stronger your self-confidence, and the more resistant you are to the emotional pulls that are in the advertising message, and you can look at them a little more clearly and objectively. What happens in the political campaign process is they are continually leveraging your fears. A little bit of greed, but mostly fears. And so when you see the messages on the political campaign, it's always is, things are so bad, this guy gets in charge, your life is going to be really terrible, you don't want that terrible misery to happen to you, you want me, whoever me happens to be, to run the show and make it better for you. And so that they offer themselves as your personal savior to correct and restore whatever's going on, and all by triggering mostly fear. There's only 5% or so of the messages is positive. If you look at a typical campaign message, I know some of them start off entirely negative, and the only thing at the bottom is, vote for me. Or others start off with one positive statement, and then all the rest is negative. What they've found is that positive campaigns don't work. But the way that you can handle that personally in your own self-identity is to build your own self-identity program so that it doesn't get to you. And what's amazing is that the subconscious mind, which scientists have now discovered, is we operate routinely 95% in our subconscious and only 5% in our cognitive mind. So that your subconscious mind is continually aware of these messages, so you really need to scrub your brain out on a regular basis so that you don't get buried in all this fear that's going around. Now, of course, when I go back to the company that I turned around, they were talking fear language all the time. And so that was part of what we had to change in the direction we moved. Actually, I didn't understand the science of what I did really until 15, 20 years later. But what I did was all the right things. And so that's part of what we need to do for ourselves today, even, is to keep our mind straight and develop a positive self-identity. The one that God has given us is the greatest one. You can have lesser self-identities, but they're not nearly as powerful. And use that in the middle of these so that you can respond rightly no matter what happens.
Yeah, and you really kind of see through all that gobbledygook that they have a tendency to put on these campaigns and in all these ads.
Absolutely. It makes you so that you're able to be more creative. You're able to look for better answers, better solutions. And the same program that I put in the book, Okay, God, Now What?, was the same one that I developed for myself those many years ago, except with the addition, I put a little more science and understanding into it. There's a fellow named James who had come back from Iraq, and his military skills weren't translating well into his civilian life. He was in sales. Sales weren't working for him. Of course, money was tight. Some of the attitudes he developed in the military weren't working with his family. And he was pretty well stuck. He didn't know where to go or what to do, except things weren't working. And yet he had been a minister and a leader in his church for years. And so when I showed him the program I developed in Okay, God, Now What?, he saw how biblical it was, how solid it was, and he started doing it right away. And what happened to him was that, and this is the words that he used to describe to him. He says, at first I was like a piece of paper blown around by whatever wind was blowing. I was in the bushes, I was up against the wall, I was up against the fence. I wasn't stable in anything. And as I started to do the affirmations in Okay, God, Now What?, and building myself with words like 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be born again in Christ, he is a new creature, and God will help you. As he started to do those, he said it was like all of a sudden I was a flag planted on a flagpole. No matter how bad the winds blew, I wasn't going anywhere. I fluttered some, but wasn't going anywhere. And all of a sudden my attitude and my company changed, the sales changed. Of course, my relationship with my wife changed. Everything got better as I discovered my new self-identity, who I really was, someone I'd heard about all my life but never knew how to put to practice. And as I did that, life got better in every area. That's what happens with a strong self-identity in Christ.
All right. So what you're really saying here is, Don, in a sense, go to the Bible to develop your self-identity.
And that's the greatest, that's actually the message of the New Testament, is we've got a new identity in Christ. And that will allow you so that, if you see, your subconscious mind is what we operate by. It takes heart writing to put things in there. And when we are triggered by certain words and emotions that come around us, our subconscious mind comes up with ideas, thoughts, statements, and emotions attached with them, which is what advertising is designed to do. So whether it's trying to get you to positive things, feel better, look better, be better, or don't let this happen, don't let that happen, don't let this happen, don't let that happen, the stronger ones for most people are the fear ones. And when you get into fear, you can't think. That's why one of the examples, politicians get into office and everybody forgets their promises after a while because they really weren't thinking when they voted for them anyway.
Yeah. Do you go back as far as those times with Grits and Fritz and some of those things?
Well, one of my favorite ones is Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. That's a slogan that...
That was a good one.
Yeah, I remembered it. And, you know, it had to do with, actually, he was a war hero. That was the Tippecanoe was for Harrison was that battle. And, of course, one of the more famous ones is I Like Ike, which was really good because when you go into the voting booth, you didn't know what to do. I like Ike. I'll vote for him.
Funny how those things do influence our lives, isn't it?
And, well, it's the way we're made to operate. In other words, that the way that we operate is that it takes repetition and time, but you get ideas and emotions come and get it written into your heart, and then as the events occur during the day, those ideas and emotions come up to you and rise, and that's how you operate through the course of the day. There's a lady named Sherry who she still lives there, in Denver, Colorado. She's a busy mom. She had five kids, and so she had a job. And so she did all the soccer mom stuff. Plus, her husband was traveling a lot, so she was home by herself a bunch. And they liked the money they were making. You know, they're both making good money. But she knew there was something missing, and her life was going faster than she really wanted it to, and she was concerned about her kids. And yet she was part of a Bible study. She went to Bible study, but they didn't see very much of the way of answered prayer in that Bible study. And so she really didn't know where she was going. She felt all alone. And she needed someone to give her some direction. Then somehow she got a copy of Okay, God, Now What? And she started to experience a shift in her thinking about life and especially about God. He wasn't a cruel taskmaster. She was especially delighted when she read chapter 1 called Understanding the Need for New Attitudes, as she read typical Bible success attitudes compared to what she had always thought. This, what she learned about God. Are you still there?
I'm still there. We lost you for just a second.
I heard that beep. That's strange. You know, we've got this new internet level here that makes rather interesting sounds.
Okay.
So anyway, she started to read chapter 1 and started getting her thinking changed, adjusted with typical Bible responses. She started to do the affirmations and started to see that she could really trust God. And as she did, she started to see more prayers answered, and life started to improve for her, and her attitude about life started to change, which is what it's really all about. Get the right attitude going first. And as she did, she really became a believer and started doing the affirmations that, okay, God, now what, in a regular basis. And that was really life-transforming for her by taking what was in the Scriptures and learning to apply it to every day of her life.
Sounds simple, but it isn't that simple, is it?
No, it's not that simple. That's part of what I did with the program, was a focused message on your new identity in Christ, to put it so that it was directly aimed at where you are, so that no matter what happens, you could respond appropriately in any situation.